begins to mature, and somewhere along the line, they decided the way out from trouble was to not tell the truth, but tell a lie. And so life begins. Amen. We live through life sorting those things out. One of the greatest challenges that I had when employed in Yakima for a season of time, they moved me into sales, and I'd have to go make a call, and I'll never forget this statement that was often given to me. Well, tell them this, which basically meant, don't tell them the truth, tell them this. Or tell them this. And the list, oh my Lord. And I never forgot how that would kind of make my blood begin to rise, because I felt like they were just staring me right in the face and saying, look, just go lie to them. It doesn't matter. And it came to a drawdown. And it wasn't long. I left that place of employment because I'd had the Holy Ghost for a few years, and I didn't think that I'd told a lie and in a while, and they were asking me to lie on their account for work and to get gain, and got away from there. Going into business, one of the challenges in going into business was, let's see, how do we avoid as much taxation as possible? And with business, there are so many taxes, you can't believe it. I mean, you go as an employer, that's an employee, that's one thing. You become an employer, and besides sales tax, there's all kinds of employee taxes, and then there's revenue taxes, and trying to make something work from basically nothing, you were constantly faced with, how do we do this? Do it right. And then there would be that voice from the side that would say, well, let's... And so it's like the battle just goes on in life of keeping it straight, keeping it right, keeping it clean, keeping it true. I like to read from Leviticus 19 and 11. You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Now this is the Lord meeting out the law to people, the do's and the don'ts. These are the do's, these are the don'ts. And a don't was you don't lie to each other. And so when we read this early in the book of Leviticus, we get an idea of the feelings of God on this matter. Telling the truth, being clear, or telling a lie one to another. Psalms 101 at verse 7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Ooh, these are some strong words. The scripture should tell us how to think. Isn't that right? Don't want to spend too much time in this direction, but we know that because of our the rise of social media in our lives, it seems to also become a venue of telling stories, enlarging the picture, expanding the truth, what have you. makes a better presentation, makes for a better image. Proverbs 12, just I got a couple more here, if you don't mind. Proverbs 12, 22. Lying lips. Somebody said if they're talking, they're lying. Or if their lips are moving, they're lying. I had to call one time on a reference about somebody, and it was actually another family member. Not my family, but their family member. And I said, you know, just give me the lowdown on this situation. I'm a little unsure. Things aren't clear. And that's what they said. If their lips are moving, they're lying. What a sad situation that a person's lifestyle would become so apparent to those close to them that they were just known for lying, not telling the truth. You know, it's hard to build a relationship on somebody, with somebody, who's lying to you. You know, you gonna be there? I'm gonna be there. You gonna be there? Are you sure? You gonna be there? They weren't there. It's hard to build on relationships when people are not truthful. Proverbs 21 and 6. Here's the one we talked about earlier. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The lying to get gain, lying to protect gain. You know, I can't tell them that, I'll lose the sale. Lose this, lose that. I was thinking earlier about, you know, you ever sold a house? You ever went to buy a house? You come to that place where they call disclosure statements. And there's a lot of regulatory law in relationship to lying about stuff in your property. You know, well, the septic system's bad, but we're not going to put that in the... No. You have to disclose that. So you sit down with your realtor, and you're discussing the price that you want to sell your home for, and they're taking you down through this list, and they're asking all these questions. Is there any asbestos in the ceilings? Well, do we have to tell them that? Yes, you do. You have to disclose. There are laws that say you have to disclose that. Oh, man. Are there any dead people buried in the backyard? Okay. Why do you suppose those disclosure laws are there? How did they even come about? They dug up a bunch of dead people. No, I'm just kidding. That's right. A lot of bad septic systems, a lot of bad drains, a lot of bad water systems, a lot of bad roofs, a lot of bad stuff. You know, termites, whatever. And so they've had to pass laws because of situations where so many people didn't tell the truth. To get gain. Colossians 3 and 9. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. You ever heard the term habitual liar? That's a scenario where somebody has started a pattern and they can't seem to get off the pattern. They can't get off the ride. They can't get away from it. And even when it's not even necessary to tell a lie, they tell a lie. I mean, you didn't have to say that. Why did you say it? It didn't matter. Yeah, but it's almost like something gets in their mind and in their spirit, in their heart, that they feel like telling the truth may get them somehow in trouble. And so the lie to them has become the truth. Now that's extreme, isn't it? Where'd that all start? Did you put that mark on the wall? Oh. Sister Thompson says, no, he did it. Acts chapter 5 at verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. They kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Well, it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Now, face value, it would appear as though these are men talking to each other. And Ananias and Sapphira both lie to Peter. What I find interesting about this is we know that Peter's not the Holy Ghost. We know Peter's not God. But these were men communicating one with the other. And Peter is charging him with lying to the Holy Ghost, lying to God. And I begin to think about this portion of Scripture in considering that Peter was standing in the office of an apostle and so therefore had place of ministry with this couple. And so when he began to ask questions and inquire with this couple, they lied to him and he charged them with lying to God. And the fallout, verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And revival broke out. To some degree, we are victimatic, if that's a word, to our society. We are influences, or we have influences around us every day. Anything that is a sales pitch on a commercial, whether it's a billboard, a radio, wherever we come into contact with it, a large majority borders on mistruth, falsehood, lies. Almost as though, you know, it's almost like we brush off the media saying, you know, because we just know. You know, stop with the noise already. Stop with the verbiage. Stop with the words. Free today! You know, like there's something free in this world. And so we're surrounded and bombarded by this stuff. And then we hear probably in many places around us, well, just tell them this. Just say this. We hear that everywhere. That it's easy to pick up if we're not careful. If we don't use personal discretion to, we would maybe call it a white lie. Well, you know, it doesn't. Yeah, you know, this isn't that big of a deal. Well, this isn't a, you know, that's what Peter was trying to tell Ananias. And he fell out. New Testament church. I'm not throwing this warning out there like somebody's going to get struck dead tonight. But it's something that we should consider in our lives, every one of our lives, in how easy it is to become careless in our communication. I had a friend who started selling cars. And I remember sitting down with him one time at his office, and he said to me, I'm telling you, this is hard. He said, you can't believe it. He said, you don't know how many things I have to come up with to say, to talk around something when I know something about that car without feeling like I'm lying to him. And it was like it was just a battle every day, but he was trying to just sell cars and be the honest salesperson, and he ended up leaving that job. It was a constant pressure that he couldn't get away from, you know, because a lot of those used cars, they all had problems. And when a client or a customer would ask you, does it have any problems? Oh, no, man, it's, you know, and he'd be switch the subject and talk about something else and sort around and hope for the sale. He didn't like the fact that he was getting good at that and left the job. His ministry was more important. Okay, Revelations 21 and 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their place, their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's not a light thing. It's not extreme. It's just true. It's real. And it should be a concern of all of ours. And we don't wait for conviction before we repent to the Lord about it. I think that we can all fall victim or prey to circumstances and come out of those circumstances not feeling good about what we said, did not say. But it should shape our next conversation. It should, you know, there ought to come something out of that that says, I ain't doing that again for nobody. I never forgot one time. I was asked to go serve juice at a school lunch ladies trade show in Spokane. No, I wasn't asked to serve juice. I was asked to serve. And my boss, he was going to serve something too, but they marched me down right in front of the wine taps and said, we'd like you to serve the wine. It took my breath away. I turned around and I walked off into the distance. I never came back. I didn't know what to do. My boss was mad at me the next morning. We were driving through McDonald's. He said, I don't know what your problem is. He said, if you're going to work for the Noel Corporation, you're just going to have to get used to some of this stuff. And I thought, well, that just about settles it right there. That's not me. I am not going down that road. All the pressures that come on us in this life, and we got to decide who we're going to be. We're going to be of the world, or we're just going to walk in the world. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 6 and 18. We're going to turn the corner here a little bit. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, my focal point, of course, is the fact that the character of God is he cannot lie. Zechariah 8:16. I'm glad you're quick with this here, Mark. These are the things that you shall do. Speak ye, every man, the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Speak to every man the truth to his neighbor. In Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This has been turning in my heart for about 3 days now. And I know that even sometimes in dialogue between my wife and I, she's checking me out, make sure I'm telling her the right answers to her questions. You know, but it's kind of like, you know, did you make your bed? Yeah. No, that's not between her. That's between me and my mom. But it's like you think there's such an innocence about it. Oh. Got somebody paying attention back here all of a sudden. Did you rake those leaves in the back? Some of them. Did you bring the garbage cans in? To the garage? Buttons on the inside. I don't know, does it really matter? I'm thinking from God it does. Praise God. I was thinking as I was praying earlier, I am so thankful for the peace of God and for a clear heart. Who would want to taint that over something so, you know, something small? Oh, the value of a clean heart. It's his righteousness that cleans and purges my heart and my spirit. Amen? All of us. Brother Johnstone, I don't know if you wanted to say anything after this. I'd like for us to, could we pray for a little bit here? Express some thanks, have some dialogue. Maybe a little repentance wouldn't hurt in some scenarios. We're thankful to you, Jesus. We're thank you for the purity of your spirit. We're thankful for the purity of your spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus.